We are talking about this incredibly important idea in Ecclesiastes 8 that says, be not hasty to leave or to go away from his presence. But rather, and do not stand in the evil place. By definition, the evil place is some place that he isn't. And the only place that he isn't is in your mind when you go back in time or forward in time. So, I know we're talking a whole lot about this, but this is the single, for us right now, this is the single most important thing that we can understand. Because what happens again is whenever there is chastisement, you either revert to your memory of some better place than your mind, which has gone through all of your filters, or you go to the future, to some other place. And both places, both future and your remembrance of the past and going to your idyllic future, are going where he isn't. You're leaving his presence. Does everybody understand that? I mean, you've got to get this down deep in your being so it becomes odious to you to ever do it. And yet, if you think about it, that's what the world says. You have a hole in your pocket? That's what the world system is about. It's about leaving his presence. You got it?
I think the issue here is escaping. Is that not the point?
Well, you're escaping.
During the trial, it's the escape.
Yeah, but some people live in the future, so it's not escaping from anything real. They just like to live in their fantasies.
Both of those places are imaginary.
Right. Because the past is imaginary, as we've clearly seen, because it's in your mind. And because not only that, you've remembered incorrectly. Yeah. We've seen numerous examples of this, haven't we? And it's obviously he's not in the future, because it's also in your mind. And the thousands of thousands of thousands of universes that you've created in your mind, expected to be governed by God, but you actually expect them to be governed by you as God. You think somehow it can be an odious thing to do to leave now? Think it might can be that? All right, let's go to Job chapter 5.
Hey.
You turned right to it.
No. There was money in my Bible.
Fake money. It's fake money.
It's been working for years. You started a religion.
I thought I was lucky there. Lady Luck and smile.
Chapter 5. Let's start in verse 8. Well, wait a minute. Let's start in verse 1. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints will thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them, whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, or the inventions, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise or their ideas. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward or the proud is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as it is night, as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword and their mouth from the hand of the mighty. He saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now let's finalize it and go to Hebrews 12. And again, everybody understands the predicate here of all this, is that you leave the now for a lot of reasons, but mainly you leave the now to escape the chastisement of the Lord. The chastisement of the Lord is something is going on that you don't like or that you don't think is good enough. And so you leave. You might as well just have walked out the door. Got it? Now, the opposite of that is waiting. Trusting only in Him, looking only unto Him. And eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on Him. But instead of waiting during the chastisement, during the affliction, you've got to go. Got to go. And what's so sad is you don't know that that is leaving the presence of God. It's starting to maybe grab you a little bit. Can you maybe understand why I've teased you so much over the years? You're not talking to me right now?
When you start talking about time, going back in time or forward, like in, for me, and that's why I brought up the thing about escaping being the issue, because for a moment there, going back in time...
I just spit like, all over myself.
It was like that moment was the same as this moment. God was there. If I go forward in time, God is there. And so it takes time out of the equation, putting Him at every moment. And so it's like it changes it from escape to something fruitful.
Not if you leave now, no matter what you do with it.
That's why I say escape is the issue more than time travel. If you're doing it to get out of something, then it...
Well, you're avoiding affliction.
Right. But then the last thing you read really hit me about, I have not seen or heard or entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those waiting on. It's like what He has prepared is Christ in you.
Yeah, and it's much more than you could ever dream of.
Yeah. It's not something that He's got prepared for you. It's someone that He's prepared and revealed in you.
And the fullness of... And in Him is the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
What more could you want? What more could you need? All right. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, this is everything. I mean, this is what happens. if something is troubling you, you take his yoke upon you instead of your yoke. If there's some heaviness, that's why the cliche of being light as a feather has to be your constant position. Because I promise you, if you don't cast it upon him, then you will what? You will go forward or backward in time in your mind. And you will go to a place where he isn't. You will have left the presence of the Holy One.
I was thinking about when we were reading Job. What Job did was he stayed in the moment and was arguing with God. He's like there doing this thing, and that's really what God wants.
That's right.
He's there and embracing the trouble, and God's right there.
You can tell him you're mad at him. You tell him everything else you want to, but see where the source is.
Yeah, he's got it and says, contend with me, command me.
Okay. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Labor to enter into rest. Run with patience. They're contradictory terms, except in Him. If you have not entered into the Sabbath, if you do not know, if you think the Sabbath is a day instead of a person, then you're just going to end up messing around all the time. So labor to enter into his rest, into his Sabbath, and run with patience the race that is set before you. There's only one race that we're on, if you will. It's not even a race. It's a trek, but the trek is instantaneous. The end is automatic. If it wasn't for our idolatry, our rebellion, we are to go from Egypt in the one parable, or from Babylon in the other, and return to the promised land. But not just to the promised land. We are to return to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the Holy of Holies, to the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherub. That's where we are seated. That's where we live. All those that dwell upon the earth are cursed. There is no hope for them. All right. For consider him. Oh, wait a minute. Looking unto Jesus, in verse 2, the author and finisher of, see, the word our is in italics. It's just, he's the author and finisher of faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him. The word for there, it means at this time, in the King James time, for meant what it meant in Greek, which is instead of. Who, instead of the joy that was set before him. And what joy is he talking about? The joy at his walk, his purpose, was completed at Transfiguration. And there was nothing but joy. But instead of that joy that was set before him, he came down into the valley of shame and endured the cross. So, who instead of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Isn't that what happens? I see it every day. I see you get weary and you quit in your mind. Your countenance changes, and it takes somebody with the discernment of an ant to see it. But then you think I can read your mind or some crap. What?
somebody all like that, and then
how could you tell?
But consider him who not only endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, he overcame it. He is the way. He's never going to teach you the way. He's never going to show you the way. He is the way. As long as he's your life, then consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. If you know the habitation of the Holy One of Israel, you know that you are the temple for the living God, then it's easy. If you think you're left alone, then you've got all these things to do and places to... it's endless. It doesn't matter whether it's the slightest little thing or a huge thing. If you have an obligation, there is no love and you're lost. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint or quit in your minds. You faint in your mind by leaving now. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The sin here is the self-realization. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not yet resisted that temptation, which is so automatic. It's because we are of the curse. It's the same thing. I see something else that's pleasant to the eyes, or good to make one wise, or good to solve the problem. Go up to the mountain instead of that dependence on God, reliance. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, or legitimate children. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards, and not sons. Now, obviously, all are partakers of the chastisement. What defines you as a bastard or illegitimate is if you leave the chastisement to go to a solution in your mind. If you leave something you don't like and go someplace else in your mind, or some other escape mechanism. Can you think of the number of escape mechanisms? Sleep? Movies, television, books, anything to escape. Drugs, alcohol, sex. Knitting.
Not knitting.
Crocheting.
Concentrating on
something else. Spelling bees or quilting bees or whatever the hell they are. Anything to escape the chastisement, to get your attention off.
Crossword puzzles.
Shopping.
Shopping.
You got it. They're endless, right?
Listening.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can also be decide to go help somebody or do busyness in something that you deem to be valuable, so you don't have to face that moment of silence in the temple.
That's right. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening... the other way you get out of chastening is praying. rather than just giving it to him, casting your burden upon him. Oh, I'm going to pray about it, and I've got to make sure I say the words right and hold my nose right, and I've got to read all these how-to books on prayer so I can how-to get what I want.
Or stop the chasing. Like, that's not going to work, is it?
That's true.
You can either praise, you can even praise your way out of chastening.
Write a book about that. Praising your way out of chastening.
Or Jesus.
The Holy Anthony way.
But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Do you understand? Most of the chastening of the children that is done by parents is done so that they can retain their own reputation. Most of the pride or being proud of children is so that you can eat the flesh of your children. Does anybody understand me? They chasten after for their own pleasure. But he for profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You remember? Innocence tested provides holiness. Tested. For those of you who don't remember it, if you remember, I prayed since the day that I became a believer. To the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot.
It's like completing that journey.
But notice our isn't in there.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Verse 10.
Yes, the idea that the journey would be complete.
Right. Remember, the word prosper in Greek means to have a successful journey. So above all, I would that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. Just means he wants you to stay in the mercy seat. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised or emptied thereby. We've seen it a million times. Literally a million times. Everything is wrong. Everything is bad. In a split second, everything is perfect. Why? Because you saw him.
Yeah, and you can't remember what it was you thought was all messed up about that previous point, because it's so solid right there in the moment.
There's no how-tos. As long as if you have some how-to on how to fix it, then you understand any how-to takes you away from dependence. If I learn how to do anything, then I don't have to be in a position of yielding, because I can do it. That's why the how-to issues are so evil spiritually.
I just thought of a good book. Praising Your Way Out of Hypocrisy.
Good idea, John.
Praise without repentance. Praise without repentance is like fire without heat. It's meaningless. He inhabits the praises of Israel, but not because they run around and praise him. It's the praise comes from understanding, from knowledge of him. Not from some ritualized process by which, okay, now everybody praise the Lord, or let's play the right music to get us in a mood of praise. Let's go hire the right worship leader who knows how to get us in the mood of praise. That's sorcery. probably have talked enough for today, huh?
Offended enough people.
Hmm?
You offended enough people this morning. I remember that Larry Norman interview where he said that he was thinking, maybe the words praise the Lord, there might be some more creative ways to express that. God might be getting a little tired of hearing praise the Lord.
Oh, what just makes me crazy is every time I have to confess, last night and this morning, I've been listening to religious broadcasting. And we're just, the two things that just make me crazy. We're just giving you all the praise, Father. Or, we're just lifting up Jesus. Don't they understand where it says lift up Jesus? It talks about his death that he was to endure on the cross. You're not lifting up Jesus by raising your hands.
Like a mosh pit.
Yeah. It is. It's a spiritual mosh pit. Oh. I feel the presence of God here. The anointing is so strong. The strength of the anointing never changes. That's just goofy.
It's not like a magnetic field.
No. The anointing is what? It's Jesus' last name. Yeshua HaMashiach. Christ. Jesus the Christ. The anointed. If they tell you, go here, there is the Christ. Really is saying, if they tell you go here, there's the anointing. Over there, there's the anointing. Don't go! And yet that's what we have today, people following the anointing. It's worse yet to follow your own nose. Maybe not. Anyhow.
Yeah, something we just joked about for a second. Back, most of what, at least what's on TV, really is instruction in how to escape Jason, how to get out of the will of God. It's amazing. How to get what you want.
How to keep you alive in the day of death. There's something I was going to say. What is it?
Happy Purim.
Have a nice day.
Take a big guy.
Take a big guy.